Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. Today is the 17th of September, and as the sun is rising later this morning, we also celebrate the fact that the Son of God has risen, that tomb is empty, and that is good news, and perhaps even particularly needed news today, given the ongoing hurricane event on the east coast of the United States. Just wreaked so much devastation thus far. The hurricane has obviously passed for the most part. And now if you've seen the images, as I have as well, just the catastrophic flooding is difficult to watch. The suffering is real. And it's of a kind that unfortunately is all too common in this life. I heard from so many of you last week as listeners calling in as part of our share event. And it was amazing to just be on the journey with you and what's going on in life. And so many of your stories have to do with some of the difficulty in how Faith Radio Mornings and the rest of our programming helps you get through. So we will celebrate every morning in the midst of the difficulty and hardship that the Son of God is risen, the tomb is empty. It doesn't mean that hardship goes away, of course, but it does mean that there's always future and always hope while we wait for the day when all tears are wiped away. So this is Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in studio by Logan Rausch, running the sound and keeping everything flowing smoothly throughout the morning, and Paul Perot in the newsroom, who does this incredible work keeping me updated on the stories of the day. And we really do have a great first hour ahead as we get back into the rhythm of our show this morning, where, of course, we will talk quite a bit about Hurricane Florence, what's happening there, and how we as believers might be able to help. So we'll be joined first by a new friend and colleague to Faith Radio Mornings, Brandon Showalter, who is a senior writer for the Christian Post. And he does an amazing job covering the news for them. It's one of the largest Christian organizations in the country covering the news. And it's a go-to site, for any of us that want to see some news from a Christian perspective. He'll talk with me about Florence, as well as some of the headlines coming out regarding Judge Kavanaugh and some of the Roe versus Wade conversation. All of this stuff is going to be heating up in our country, certainly over the next couple of months. And Brandon will do a great job walking us through some of those headlines. Then after the bottom of our break, we'll talk with Bruce Poss of Samaritan's Purse, which you may know is a ministry of the Franklin Graham Organization that is helping specifically with the relief efforts at Hurricane Florence. He'll give us some ground level updates and some suggestions about how we as believers can maybe help, whether it is volunteering ourselves or bringing some prayer and money to the conversation just to help the people that are suffering there. So before getting into the news, though, for Faith Radio Mornings, let's read a passage from 2 Corinthians. Corinthians 1, where Paul writes this about suffering and comfort. He was all too familiar with that journey as he followed Jesus in his time and space, and he wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." So if you or someone you know is in need of comfort this morning, whether from the events on the East Coast or some other event in life, we stand with you as brothers and sisters in Jesus. And it's Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 9 minutes past the hour, and welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined in the line by news friend of the program and just friend of the program, Brandon Showalter, the Christian Post. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. I have to say that I didn't know that the events on the East Coast would unfold in the way that they did in terms of the hurricane. And so I'm a little troubled by the images that seem to be coming out now, that this really was more of a flooding event than it was a wind event from everything that I could see. And it's pretty devastating from the way it looks.
Yeah, it was bad. I have friends in the Outer Banks who miraculously were spared, but your assessment is pretty correct. I mean, Believe you me, there are some people who have some serious flooding, and the damage was extensive, but it was not near what it was projected to be.
Well, and when we look forward, I know there are some weather reports coming out off of MSNBC this morning that we had access to, so it looks like this is some of what they're thinking the next 24 hours.
We are still dealing with thunderstorms in eastern North Carolina. It's not as widespread as it once was, but just the fact that it's still pouring and still raining. People, there's some towns that are just cut off because all the roads have been washed away or they're flooded.
Now, Brandon, you've been in the news for, you know, obviously quite a long time, and you do a lot of the writing for Christian Post. And I'm curious, you know, these stories come out and they're in the headlines for a week or 2 weeks or something. Then they kind of fade in the background. But boy, it sure seems like some of these people are going to be dealing with some devastation for quite some time.
Yes, we can't forget that after these natural disasters hit, whether they be hurricanes or tornadoes or wildfires, that life goes on and people's lives are dramatically changed, particularly if they've lost their homes. You can't ever forget about them. But we are blessed to live in a country where we do seem to be people who surround people who've been in times of great loss, but it does take a while, months and years even. I mean, Katrina, I just remember that from 2005, years it took to recover. But I respect all the people who work in government to respond to disasters like this, because it takes a lot. It's not just what they do here in D.C. where I'm based, but you know, state governments and localities have their part to play as well, and the coordination between all of the entities is quite an undertaking.
And you're obviously, you know, out of D.C. I'm sure that you see some of the political dimensions of this coming out too, where I don't know how you process, Brandon, when, you know, the president is blamed that it was his climate policies that made this event as catastrophic as it is. Or now we have the conversations out of Puerto Rico where there's quite a bit of difference in terms of what happened there. How do you deal with when this is just an event affecting people's lives and it's immediately politicized?
Well, welcome to Washington, D.C. that's kind of the nature of the beast here. So it does distress me that particularly there is such distrust of media and journalists as a journalist myself, but I do get it. And I think Americans, generally speaking, have pretty good BS detectors. And so when there is politicization of things like hurricanes, which are unpredictable, and we've always had hurricanes, and okay, so maybe the ocean temperature is affecting it some, but I saw a headline in the Washington Post, for example, that said that there's another hurricane coming, and Trump is, I believe it said, complicit. I'm like, he's been in office for just about a year and a half. I don't think that what he's done in just one, like him or hate him, it's that kind of stuff that, you know, you know, people see and they're like, okay, come on. You know, even if there is some influence from warmer ocean temperatures, one man is not going to heat the water up so much so that the hurricane is going to be that much worse and just suck it up into the political swirl. I have to trust that people can see through that. But, you know, that's why we do reporting and share multiple angles, so people can decide for themselves what they think is closest to the truth. That's why I do what I do.
Well, I think it's well spotted, Brandon. I mean, it really becomes a credibility issue, doesn't it, for either side when they politicize these things, that if you just even have a second of critical thinking, you can see, boy, the correlations between statements and truth, boy, it's sketchy at best. And so, I mean, are we, as a country, do you see in your reporting that we're taking our politicians less and less seriously, but not just because of this kind of event, but we see it in the Judge Kavanaugh hearings too, some of the stunts that were pulled, you know, obviously that we're about trying to position yourself for the 2020 elections?
Well, Supreme Court nominations especially have been really, really politicized for various reasons. And yes, there is all kinds of political posturing. I do lament the fact that our politicians have played more and more of these games. It tends to work, unfortunately, or else they wouldn't do it. I tell you what, though, I'm more concerned about the role that the media is playing in reporting the news. There are some good reporters that work for secular outlets, but one of the beats that I cover here at the Christian Post is the entire movement about gender identity and transgenderism. And it is frankly just appalling to me that, and I'm not making any of this up, I'm now seeing articles from what purport to be mainstream sources printing outright lies about, you know, there's just one in Oregon a few weeks ago where it was a man who pulled a gun on a group of women. He committed a crime. And there were reports saying that a woman had committed this crime is because this man says he was a woman, and there was no indication that he had gone any kind of, you know, sex change surgery or had been in any process. The man merely said he was, and it was reported as such, and it even had a picture of his mugshot that was clearly a man, and it was printed as though the truth was is that he was a woman. I mean, this is an outright lie, and some people can see through it, but, you know, people do believe, tend to believe what they read, and so it's the epitome of fake news, and there are newsrooms that are capitulating to the language demands. So, yes, I would say that our politicians do play these political games, and they like to posture, particularly when it's something as critical as a Supreme Court nomination. But from my perspective, I think what's the worst is when the people that are entrusted to tell what's going on and report the news and provide meaningful angles on current events are telling lies, lies. That's what bothers me the most.
Yeah, Brandon, you know, we had somebody come to a local university here that was part of a major broadcasting unit, and this person said that the reason why they got into journalism was to help shape the social fabric of our country. That didn't sound at all like reporting facts.
That's
or
not
just
what we're
mind
supposed to do.
Exactly.
That is not their job. that is such a wrong – I mean, if that – and if – I don't know if this person was thinking opinion journalism because, okay, there are opinions. You can shape public opinion. But if you're going to be a news reporter, you have to just tell the truth and tell what's going on.
Well, and I don't know if you
That's
saw the
bit.
Yeah, there was a video that went viral as part of the Weather Channel this weekend where there was
a
reported. Did you
I
see that?
It.
Where he was trying to anchor himself in the yard against, you know, buffeting winds of Hurricane Florence, and right in the background there was two people walking around just casually chatting on their cell phones, and you saw actually the winds went up to about 28 miles an hour, gusting to 40. I thought, I lived in Scotland. That was a normal walk through the city at that point.
Of course, and that's a microcosm of what's going on. It was kind of amusing. People, it went viral on Twitter, and I saw it several places. But being on the inside of the news industry, and you know, we are the Christian Post. People do know that we are a Christian voice. We bring Christian voices to bear upon the news of the day. We do have a perspective that's not hidden. But I can tell you that just being in journalism, being on the inside of this industry, it has been very eye-opening to see how some newsrooms and some outlets do manipulate perceptions deceitfully. It does happen. And so we do need Christians to be journalists and people who care about the truth to enter this profession and really reclaim it. I feel that very deeply in my gut.
That's Brandon Showalter, the senior writer of the Christian Post. And Brandon, we're so grateful that you do come on every other week here on Faith Radio Mornings. It's a voice we can trust because I do get unduly, maybe not even unduly cynical about those things that I read. We're going to take a short break. And we come back, Brandon, I'd love to get your take on some of what's happening in the Judge Kavanaugh hearings, both the accuser, Christine Ford, that came out this past couple of days and talked about some potentially troubling events from his background, as well as what we see moving forward. So much more to come with Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined on the line by Brandon Showalter, who's a senior writer for the Christian Post. And Brandon, I just have to say, really grateful to have somebody on the program that can speak to the news from hopefully a balanced and Christian perspective. It's what we were talking about, right? Just how biased things can get to be in either direction.
Well, and I just want to add, too, if you're going to be biased, at least be open about it. What I can't stand is people who purport to be neutral or mainstream, and it's so slanted. I mean, if we have a perspective. At the Christian Post, we are bringing our faith to bear on the news. I mean, we don't print lies. We print the truth. But, you know, it's the deception of people saying that, oh, we're mainstream, we're credible, we're trustworthy. And then they print outright lies. And it's a sick joke. That's really what it is.
Well, and it boils down to, too, that the idea that you can both view the same event and choose the quote-unquote facts that you believe are most pertinent to shape your story moving forward. That's really the subtle way in which this happens.
And what you omit, that's a huge thing. What you decide not to report, it's very deliberate. Good reporters present the broadest discussion of what's going on as possible, and sometimes you can't get it all into one article, but you write others and do follow-up coverage. So I just important to, now it's never been more important to tell the truth. I believe that very deeply.
Well, and you guys do a great job of it at the Christian Post. And like you said, the volume of articles available to really get a perspective on a situation. And we need that right now relative to Judge Brett Kavanaugh and the confirmation hearings, because over the last 48 hours, we began to see sort of an anonymous source come out and say there was a event when they were teenagers. Kavanaugh was 17. She was 15, in which there were some troubling accusations made. And then she came out and revealed herself as the source. Christine Ford is her name, who's a professor at Palo Alto. And these accusations, I mean, she seems to be a credible person. And now we're hearing from both sides that it's a political stunt. No, she's finally coming out and she was so troubled. How are you walking through this, Brandon?
Well, when it first broke yesterday, I sent it to a friend of mine who is an abuse survivor. And I said, do you believe this? And I think that's really key, because abuse survivors know the trauma of what it's like to not be believed, oftentimes. And she said, I mean, and this friend is a supporter of Brett Kavanaugh and would, if she was in the Senate, would vote for him to be confirmed. But she said she does think that it is grounded in some semblance of reality. And as I read the story, it did seem to be believable. And yet it does have all of the markings of just a political effort to derail this nomination. And it, some people are referring it to as a Hail Mary at the very last thing, because the vote was scheduled to be this week. And, you know, many, I think, Republicans wanted him confirmed before October 1st. And so, yes, there clearly is politics involved here. But I commented on my Facebook page, it's like, look, we can't just dismiss this out of hand. When there are charges like this, you can't just say this is politics, because abuse survivors do know what it's like to – they know when other abuse survivors have come forward and they haven't been believed in the suffering that is compounded. Okay. I like many people, I don't know the judge. I have a few friends and acquaintances here that do, and they say he's the most kind-hearted, decent person you could ever meet. And the other factor that I think is going to be very relevant in the next couple of days is – politicians and journalists talk about this and sort through all this, is not to excuse what he did, if indeed he did this, but teenage boys do stupid stuff, and sometimes they do stupid, violent things. But I don't think there's a single person in this world that would want their record to be judged by something they did in a moment of stupidity, or you know, something as they were teenagers, particularly if it's not part of a larger pattern in their life. And from what I have seen, they're decent people, I believe, on the right and on the left. And Judge Kavanaugh does appear to be one of those fundamentally decent people who's, you know, Republicans, who's on the right. But I don't know. I think the real question is going to be, are we going to look back into high school years to say that, well, you're, because you may have done this, and that you're going to not be qualified for a job now? I think that's going to be the crux of the discussion.
Yeah, I think that's well spotted, Brandon. And that's the troubling bit, is it does seem to have some credibility to the accusations. Apparently, she referenced some of these events and when she was in therapy in 2012. She didn't say who at that point in time, but she passed a lie detector test recently on it, too. So you have that side of it, and you have the abuse that's so significant. And then on the other side, as you said, we all have skeletons in our closet. And so how do we hold ourselves accountable in the present for past events? I don't know how to walk through this.
Well, and again, I would say, does it speak to a pattern of behavior? Because when there are abusers, people who are truly abusive, there's usually not just one event. I mean, if there are other women that he has mistreated, then I would expect maybe now they would come forward. But I kind of doubt it. This doesn't seem – because of the – when this was released and all that has happened, I wouldn't expect anything else to come forward, just given what I know about the judge. And I mean, I am removed from him. I just got acquaintances and friends who know him. But I don't think any of us would want to be judged by our high school years. But at the same time, again, I just want to reiterate, we can't just ignore this because, you know, maybe we think he should be on the bench. I mean, yes, let's look into it. Let's at least consider it. Because if this woman is telling the truth, then that event did have some significant effect on her that she's not to forget in a way that if Judge Kavanaugh was drunk, he's not going to remember it. I still don't know what the truth of it is, and I have a lot of the same suspicions that everyone seems to be having, but at the very least, we should let this play out and consider it.
It's Brandon.
Not ignore it.
Yeah, it's Brandon Showalter, the Christian Post. Brandon, I'd be curious your thoughts. You know, within the Christian faith, when there's mistakes made, the pathway forward is to come out and humbly repent and acknowledge and say we're not going to move that way and moving forward. But that's political suicide in Washington.
Well, it sure is. It's also the right thing to do. But again, it comes down to whether or not this actually happened or not.
Right,
and
right.
I don't think we've heard anything from Judge Kavanaugh since it broke yesterday. But from what I have read, when the allegations were anonymous, he emphatically denied it. And so I would, maybe he doesn't remember or maybe he didn't do it. I don't know. But it'll be something to watch for sure. And I would expect him to probably continue to deny it. But who knows? We'll see.
It's going to be a fascinating week ahead, Brandon. We just so appreciate you coming on and talking about the news just from a balance and also a Christian standpoint. Before I let you run, I've got to ask and remind our listeners that one of your hobbies is to be able to sing national anthems from around the globe. Are you working on any sort of, country that we wouldn't even know of? That, Brandon, the lines on the map have changed so much since the 1980s when I was in geography. You got a country you're working on that I've never heard of before?
How many countries are there now? 173? I don't know what it is. I haven't worked on any anthems lately, but it's always a fun endeavor. Maybe I'll have to look up the Moldovan national anthem and just see. That's, where Moldova is? Do you know that country?
I have at least have heard of it. I'm confused whether it's an Avengers country or what it is. So, yes.
No, it's a landlocked country in Eastern Europe that borders Ukraine. So
Perfect.
Maybe I'll have to look that one up.
I love it. I will look that up. And Brandon, in a couple of weeks when we chat again, if you can give us even the first stanza of the Moldavian national anthem.
Oh, my goodness. You are so funny.
Hey, we appreciate your time coming on again. I just love the conversation and the balanced news perspective. Have a great day in Washington, D.C. today.
Thank you, Peter. Have a great day.
We'll take a break for a Lighten Up and Bottom of the Hour News. When we come back, we'll be joined by Bruce Poss of the Samaritan's Purse, who will give us, as believers, some ways in which we can help the events unfolding on the East Coast in Hurricane Florence. Welcome back to Faith Radio Morning. So enjoy the conversation with Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post, just a trusted voice to help us walk through these difficult news headlines. Well, it is hot, hot, hot in the Midwest, although that's finally coming to an end. Obviously, those of you listening up in North Dakota have seen heat that we haven't seen before in this time of year. I know Duluth, Minnesota is setting records as well. And so even the lake breeze off of Superior sounds like it wasn't terribly helpful. But we're in for a break in the weather over the next week. Quite excited about that. It'll feel a bit more like fall. Though for Hartford, Connecticut, we're going to send one more blast of warmth your direction here from the west. So hang on tight, and winter will be here before we know it. Prior to a fall share event last week, we were joined by Nicole Phillips, who focuses on writing about kindness and the contagiousness of kindness. And she was talking a bit about helping to others in suffering by actually leaning into the conversations and situation.
Sometimes we have a tendency, when someone's really hurting, to back away and give them space. When I had cancer 3 years ago, like lots of moms, I would go into the shower, turn on that was my safe place to go cry when I really needed to let it out. And my husband walked into the bathroom, saw me in the shower, and he said, "Hey, are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." And I thought that I sounded fine, but he must have known my tone of voice because he said, "What's going on? Are you okay?" I said, "Yes, just leave me alone. I'll be out in a second." And I kind of snapped on him. And he, fully clothed, leaned into the shower. He stepped in and we were both sopping wet before he was able to, reach over and turn off the faucet and grab a towel and wrap it around me. And he just stood there and held me and let me cry. That takes great courage to lean into someone's pain. And it's not a spouse, it's a friend. And you can say to them, "Hey, I know that this is really hurting and I don't have a solution for you, but I want you to know that I just love you and I want to be here for you." And so that's where we can be courageous in our kindness.
Great story. Great advice from Nicole Phillips, who writes about kindness. She's actually going to become a regular contributor for just a few minutes each week on the program to just give us stories of kindness and help emphasize the importance of that in our journey as believers. If you want to catch that entire segment, you can head to myfaithradio.com and search for Nicole Phillips. She just has great tips that are practical about how we can help one another. Well, I see we already have Bruce Poss on the line from Samaritan's Purse. Very excited to have a conversation with him, not just about what's happening in Carolina, but how we as believers can help.
We demand less from young people, expect less, and then blame them when they make mistakes as adults. This is Jim Garlow. Young people today respond to a world that gives them trophies just for showing up. They're used to being rewarded and praised regardless of their behavior and performance. Successful leaders motivate young people not through criticism, but through deserved praise and positive feedback. Millennials are generally moved by emotion and heart rather than numbers, facts, or even what we present as truth. What you'll discover is that they're motivated and open to change through relationships, and that opens a door for you as a mentor, as a model to them. Become friends with young people. Invest in their lives. You're up against a culture that has dismally failed them, and as a result, failed an entire nation. There's more to help you in this precarious moment at jimgarlow.com.
It's just about 20 minutes before the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, and thrilled to be joined on the line by Bruce Poss of Samaritan's Purse, located out in Carolina near the events of Hurricane Florence. And Bruce, I really appreciate you joining us this morning. As you know, I'm an admirer for a number of years of Samaritan's Purse. So good morning, and remind our listeners what Samaritan's Purse is all about.
Well, good morning to you, Peter. Thank you. Samaritan's Purse is an international Christian relief organization founded back in the 1970s, headed by Franklin Graham at this time. So we work in about 100 countries around the world, bringing relief to those countries that have endured different kinds of disasters, and doing it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And just a lot of work like that, bringing hope to these folks.
Well, we sure love the work that you do. And I'd be curious, just you're out in Carolina. Obviously, you're not maybe at the ground zero of the storm, but you're close enough to it. What are you seeing? What's unfolding right now?
So over the weekend, our teams deployed from here into we actually started yesterday with volunteers in New Bern, North Carolina, which is one of the hardest hit areas. Today, we'll have a truck leaving from New Bern, a second truck that will leave from New Bern and get into the Jacksonville, North Carolina area, and another truck that will leave from our offices here in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, to head into Wilmington. As you can imagine, the waters have risen over the weekend after the storm passed through areas. The rain still fell, and so roads became impassable. And so that's been a little bit of a logistical nightmare of trying to get people and vehicles into those areas. But we are helping homeowners to cut their down trees, offer their houses, to do what we call mud out, which is basically remove all the belongings from a home and to take out the wet sheetrock and to allow those homes to dry.
I got to believe the logistics of all of this is incredibly difficult to sort out, especially this appears, again, from outside looking in, to have been more of a rain flooding event than a wind event at the end of the day. Are some of the roads closed? Is it tough to get people into the places where they need to get to?
Oh, it very much is that we sent folks in and then they had to backtrack and things like that. It's been a busy weekend of speaking with governments and with state patrol and law enforcement and trying to find the best route to get our folks in. We did open up that route and was able to get those folks into the New Bern area and then want to deploy from there on into the other areas later this week.
What's for you working with obviously some of our governmental communities, you know, maybe like some of the law enforcement or some of the paramedics and help? It's got to be fun to actually have a partnership back and forth between obviously a Christian faith organization like Samaritan's Purse and dimensions of our government to really work together towards a shared goal.
It really is. We try to maintain a great relationship with local officials, and we have We've been helped by many in those areas of state and state government, local government. We try to enhance those relationships. And then just these first responders are super folks. Specifically, when we go into disaster, we will look for those folks for their homes because if you know, they've been working and trying to help everyone else. So we will focus our attention to begin with, on those folks that have been helping others to they can't be all that they need to be for the people they're serving if they're worried about things that, at their own home. So we maintain a great relationship with those folks, and it's in this line of work, it's about relationship and getting in and helping, and it's a partnership.
It's Bruce Poss, who's Key Volunteers and Partners Relation Manager for Samaritan's Purse. And Bruce, I'd be curious, what does the cleanup effort begin to look like in these situations? I mean, you talk about removing drywall and some of the things that can happen, but I haven't seen up close a home devastated by flood or water before. I can't imagine what the recovery effort actually entails.
Well, it's all the furniture, the flooring, all is soaked with water up to whatever level the water rose to, and then as it sits in there, it wicks what we call wicking up into the walls. So what our teams will do is go into those homes and go at least a foot above where the water rose to, and score the sheetrock or wall coverings and remove the insulation that's wet, pull up the flooring. Basically take it back down to the studs, to the wall studs, and allow that to dry. Then we spray with a product that keeps the mold from growing back. And then in some areas, like in Texas after Harvey, we have places there in Texas that we're rebuilding homes. So, it's a long process. We also do chainsaw work. Our large disaster trucks have plenty of chainsaws on them, so we'll have teams doing that. But again, loving on those homeowners. We always say it's not about the home; it's about that person. We minister to people in these situations.
Well, I've got to believe, too, just the help that you offer is so welcome in terms of you show up and these people have experienced the devastating effects of an event like this. And yet it also, to your point, and you said you're still working with Hurricane Harvey a bit, this fades out of our minds so quickly because of the news cycles. But we're talking about 6 months, a year, sometimes 18 months or longer that the cleanup goes on that you're involved with.
That's correct. We're also in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which was a flood that happened in 2016. We'll finish that up next spring. So it is a long-term effort. We need to continue as believers to pray for these areas. We just passed 1 year since Harvey, and we'll be there for a long time, maybe a couple of more years, in rebuilding homes devastated by Harvey. And so it takes a long time. So we can't just, for these folks that are enduring the Florence devastation, it's just the beginning of a long, long, long journey for them. And what we're doing is just that first incremental step to their recovery. And so we want to to come along and put the faith into that and help restore them. We have our from the Billy Graham chaplains that come in that deploy right along with our Samaritan's Purse volunteers. They come in, and specifically they're focused on that spiritual and emotional support for these homeowners, sharing the gospel of Christ. And it is a neat thing to see when you see a homeowner that doesn't know what to do because they walk into their home, everything is in disarray from the floodwaters, and you come and you say, "We're going to walk with you through this," and they come back in a few days and that debris is removed, their house is not back to normal, but they can see that there's hope. And that's a beautiful picture for us. And then our teams gather around them after that and present to them a Bible, Billy Graham Bible, that has some of the most asked questions of Dr. Graham, and signed by those volunteers that worked on their home.
Well, that's part of why I'm such an admirer of Samaritan's Purse from afar, is just because you focus holistically on the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of people. Bruce, when we come back from break, I would love to get your take on what people like me or people from around the country that maybe aren't impacted directly by the events but could still possibly offer help physically, emotionally, spiritually. So more to come with Bruce Poss on Samaritan's Purse Ministry on the East Coast and Hurricane Florence next on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 9 minutes for the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, and delighted to be joined on the line by Bruce Poss of Samaritan's Purse, who manages key volunteers and partner relationships. And Bruce, off the air, you were saying, you know, Capstner, you can roll up your sleeves and get over here to Carolina, you know, from your spot in Minnesota. I'm curious what it looks like for somebody like me to get involved, especially, you know, I watch YouTube videos on home improvement. I can maybe cut sheetrock, but I could never replace it all. I do more harm than good, I'm afraid, Bruce. Is there ways for people like me to help?
There certainly is. We have a team of trained volunteers that go out, and we take the novice that can that's never done anything like this and walk them through the process. I always say there's something for everyone to do. We, as I was saying before, that homeowner is our focus. So if you can sit and talk to that homeowner, that's the best job, the most important job on the site. But we certainly have to get the sheetrock out and all those things. And so we have the trained folks that we send in, and we would put you on a team. So basically what a person would do if they can come and can volunteer is they would go to our website, which is spvolunteer.org, and they would sign up there to help. Our team of folks would contact them and make all the arrangements for them to the time and give them all the details about what it's like to stay in one of our camps. And then they show up, and we take care of them from the time they get there until the time they leave. There's no charge. We provide meals for them. We partner with local churches and set up in those churches to sleep and house our folks. We provide the shower trailers and things like that. So we meet the logistical needs of those volunteers, and then we put them with experienced people then that can go and walk them through and help them to understand what needs to be done in those homes or cutting those trees. Of course, safety is a big thing, so we do a safety briefing at the beginning of that deployment. So that is a huge way that people can help, is just to sign up. And people come from all over the country to our disasters, and that's what we depend on. As I said, last year, 20,000 people volunteered in Texas and in Florida.
Well, and Bruce, it's such an important invitation, because it can so often feel disempowering for those of us that are removed from the actual events. But these are tangible ways to get involved. For you logistically, is it easier to work with maybe a group of 15 to 20 from an entire church that's signing up to come, or more individuals or families, or is it some combination of both?
Combination of both. We have church groups, and all of us know that when you serve shoulder to shoulder in a mission experience like that with members of your church, it enhances the body, the local body, so much. Just the, you know, the travel together and the working together, the stories that you're sharing. But we love to have church groups, that's not always possible. So we can take groups of any size, and we also take a lot of individuals that come and serve. And so we either of those is great.
Bruce, I know out of Samaritan's Purse, you're doing work around the world, not just in the United States. And did you have any intersection or any impact with Puerto Rico and the events that happened, you know, within the last year there? Because it sure seems like it's back in the news again. I'd be curious your take on some of what's happening in Puerto Rico.
Certainly, I have not personally been involved in the response since Maria, but Samaritan's Purse is still very much involved. Have been involved since day one. We're right now in the process of rebuilding 390 churches there. Homes there, and about 55 churches. We've been focusing a lot on solar power for homes. That's a huge need there. Some of the areas we're working in is very remote, and Samaritan's Purse is just committed to helping these folks like we help, in other places around the world. So far, about 351,000 people have been helped by Samaritan's Purse, taken in buckets, food packages. Great story from the solar power. There's a family there The Riveras, both of them diabetic and with intermittent power, they couldn't keep their insulin chilled, and so the solar power really, really helped those folks. But Samaritan's Purse is committed there and to getting these homes built and these churches rebuilt. You know, the churches being rebuilt provides that that stability for the body, a place to go and to gather and to worship is so important. So that's Samaritan's Purse is committed to that.
Yeah, so well said. Bruce, we just have a little bit less than a minute left here in our time together, and I'd be curious. All right, can people still get involved in some of these other locations like Puerto Rico, like in Texas and Hurricane Harvey, other places around the world?
Certainly. For the rebuild in Texas and in Louisiana, the same website, spvolunteer.org, will take them directly. Of course, there's a link through SamaritansPurse.org, which is our main website. I invite people to go there and to just explore all that Samaritan's Purse does. You know, very quickly, we're involved in Operation Christmas Child, which is now gearing up. Churches will be involved in that. But there's so much more that Samaritan's Purse does, and we invite people just to come and get involved in what Samaritan's Purse is doing, all in the name of Christ.
Bruce, I love the ministry. I have packed gifts with my own family on Operation Christmas Child. It's a wonderful ministry. Just as before we remind our listeners where they can go to get more information.
Again, that's SamaritansPurse.org, or for volunteering, SPVolunteer.org.
Bruce, thanks for joining us. God bless you in the ministry efforts moving forward.
Thank you so much, Peter, for the time.
Take a short break and wrap up the first hour of our show here on Faith Radio Mornings. Sure, appreciate that conversation with Bruce Poss of Samaritan's Purse. Again, it's a long-standing organization that helps people physically and emotionally and spiritually, and it feels so invitational that any of us at any stage in life could get involved to help people across those lines. So great first hour of the show. When we come back after the top of the hour news, we'll have an interview segment I did with singer-songwriter Andrew Peterson.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.